following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At Advance Auto Parts, saving big and getting your parts in a snap is your Advance Advantage. Right now, when you buy Moog steering and suspension products, you'll get up to $50 back by mail-in rebate. Plus, when you order parts online, we'll have your order ready to pick up in-store within 30 minutes. 30 minutes or less? That's the dictionary definition of a snap. Only at Advance Auto Parts.
Advance Auto Parts.
Mail-in rebate void where prohibited. See store for details.
Is breakfast really the most important meal of the day? At Buffalo Wild Wings, we think a case can be made for lunch. Think about it. Award-winning hand-spun wings in 16 signature sauces and 5 seasonings, buffalitos, wraps, burgers, and salads. Yeah, we're thinking that's a pretty good argument. Now throw in the fact that we've got over 50 big screens to watch all the sports you'll ever want. It's officially a no-brainer. So next time, make lunch your game-winning meal.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday edition. Back in studio, Doug Duda, Jim Langan, as we are on the 24th day of March. Going to talk the NCAA tournament, of course. Mitch Sherman is going to join us from ESPN.com. He was in St. Louis and had a good story on Kentucky-Wichita State. We'll talk a little bit about that and just his thoughts on Wichita State. We'll talk with Matt Coatney, voice of the Husker women. They get ready to play BYU tonight in the second round of the tournament. And Hastings College football coach Tony Harper on their spring and how things have started out there. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning, Doug.
How's it going?
Real good. How about you?
My official bracket on the Doug and Daddy contest, not very good. Not very good. Villanova, your San Diego State, still around.
They're hanging around, yeah. I mean, UCLA's who I need to have win that thing. But like you say, if they don't win it, I'm going to be so far back, you know, it won't even be funny. But
my final four on the big bracket on ESPN.com is still intact. So I'm looking for the positives.
That's real good.
I have Iowa State winning that regional.
Hey, well, you know, and too bad they had that injury because they've played really well and looked decent. You know, Iowa State and Baylor both have looked good in that conference.
Well, there you go. A couple of things. Let's just dive on it here. A lot of the talk this morning has been the North Carolina ball game yesterday that with Iowa State. That was a great contest, very competitive, back and forth. Each team had nearly double-digit leads, and both teams lost those leads, and Iowa State goes on to win it. And from our last chat Friday when we were at Cunningham's, there's been a lot of talk, as there always is, about officiating. There's always talk about coaches' decisions. There's always talk. I mean, we've had so many overtime games. How cool was that? But what has stuck out to you from what you watched this weekend?
Well, I guess, you know, I was really disappointed that they threw out Coach Miles. That was number one thing. I was really disappointed the officials decided to throw him out without finding out exactly what he needs. You know, coaches get a reputation, and probably fairly so, the way they act over a 35-game stretch. So all of a sudden he gets a technical foul, which was okay. I have no problem with the first technical foul. He pressed the button a little bit early there, or even before he got that technical foul. I mean, it wasn't like he was calm the whole time.
No.
And not only that, if you remember in the Ohio State-Nebraska game, we had a guy going for a layup, and he went after him pretty good. I mean, they had to be restrained that night. So the pressure's kind of got to him a little bit after this program has really turned around a little bit, and he wanted him to compete really well. So after he got that technical foul, I thought he calmed down and said, okay, I got my technical foul. I have got to relax and calm down. Well, there was definitely a timing error. And you know what was really interesting about the NCAA? If you're asking me, what I thought was, everybody's talking about the officiating. How about the people running the clocks? They struggled. They
yeah, both
really,
ones, yeah.
Yeah, they really
struggled. How tough is it?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and the thing of it is, everybody gets really excited towards the end of a game. That's when you'll see players call the sixth timeout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's things that happen to people in that last 30 seconds that they're not, you know, the other 39 minutes and 30 seconds, all the things that have happened then. You see a lot of weird mistakes where people throw the ball to the wrong team. Remember Georgetown, North Carolina, you know, and then you've seen those additional timeouts. Well, they have forgot to start the clock or start the shot clock on numerous occasions. If you watch the whole tournament, this happened very often, more often than it should have.
Was the officiating bad in the Nebraska-Baylor and Creighton-Baylor games, or do we just think it was bad because we were pulling for those teams?
I don't know if it was really horrible in the Creighton-Baylor game. You know, I didn't think it went. Maybe some calls didn't go our way early. But, boy, I mean, you know, there's a certain time when you're officiating, and what you do, you kind of game into game management. I mean, and that was a game management game when it got to be 30 points, and it got there early. I mean, it was, the game was over with about 15 minutes actually to go in the game. With 15 minutes left, that hardly ever happens in an NCAA tournament. But that game was actually well over with at that time. So I don't think the officiating was that bad. Did you? Maybe there was a call or two early. You know, McDermott's second foul, I didn't think that was a very, if we're talking about, was the game officiated poorly or was there one bad call? You know, and they immediately tried to rectify it on the next play. You know, So.
Well, and another thing, it's bad that, A, after the Nebraska game, the official comes out and says, yeah, we should have made that corrected. He didn't apologize. He just said we should have corrected that. But then all of a sudden, here come all these articles how he is maybe the most hated ACC ref there is out there, which I'm sure, I don't know if every ref has that on him out there. So that's unfortunate. But since they have to whittle the crews down for the next round, it would be, I think, inappropriate for that crew to get another weekend. They definitely weren't as good as some of the other crews that are out there. So we'll see if they get another game. But and I'll take this to you. It doesn't matter what level you're at. Iowa State makes that bucket. There's three officials. The officials know the time and situation. They've done hundreds and thousands of games. They know that Roy Williams might want to call a timeout. I can sit there and watch any of the local guys look to the bench. I mean, what's that guy doing? What's he looking at? There's 1.6. How can you not? I mean, how's a guy supposed to call a timeout? I mean, that's what got to me. I thought when they reviewed it, North Carolina, I really think they should have granted North Carolina the timeout with 1.6 under the Iowa State bucket. That's now, whether that's by rule what they can and cannot do, I don't know. But there was all kinds of mistakes at the end of that Iowa State game that could have been rectified. They stop it, they can review it, they can go through all this. Isn't the point of the review at any time to get it right?
Yeah.
So did they get it right?
Yeah, and here's the, I was listening to that game on the radio. You know, so I didn't get to see all the things that were going on. I do know the announcer said, hey, this game is over. I mean, if they're going to really look at the clock, if they're just going to look at the clock and what happened, this game's over. But here's the problem is, let's go back down to the fifth down that Missouri and Colorado had. Okay, let's go back with that.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a quarterback.
But you can't review that. That's totally separate.
No, but what I'm saying, you've got a quarterback and he looks over there. And he sees third down.
Yeah.
So he goes to the line of scrimmage and he spikes the ball.
Correct.
If that says fourth down, he's not going to spike the ball.
Right.
Okay, so he's, and like I said, players, when in the last, I brought up the fact that the last 30 seconds, there's all kinds of chaos and people make mistakes. The guy on the down marker made a mistake. Mm-hmm. The players, there wasn't a Missouri coach that ran out on the field and goes, whoa, we're not playing here. That was their fourth down. I mean, everybody was kind of like, what down is it? What, you know, there was a lot of confusion by both teams and a lot of officials at that time. So what I'm saying is, when he looks over there and says third down, he's not going to spike it if it says fourth down. Same thing's true with the player from UCLA, and that's why I'm taking your side. If he looks up at the clock, and it's at whatever number it's at, and if it's at 1.6, I'm going to take another dribble, and then I'm going to heave a 50-footer.
Yeah.
All right. If I look up and it says 2.6, I'm going to try to get two dribbles in and heave a 35-footer.
Yeah.
You know, because you could cover a lot of ground. So that's why I'm taking your side in the fact that since the clock didn't start, they maybe should have gone all the way back to 1.6. Of course, then you got the Olympics in the United States in 72. See how the people want to replay that how many times.
So. Oh, it's a history lesson every time. And that's what makes the tournament great. One shining moment will involve some moments that weren't so shining. And Mitch Sherman joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from ESPN.com. And there was plenty of excitement in St. Louis over the weekend. And one of the exciting games was the Wichita State-Kentucky game, which was very, very well played. Let's not overlook that one as well. Doug Duda and, of course, Jimmy Langan on the show today. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Doug and Jimmy. How are you guys? Yeah, that was one of the exciting games. It was a pleasure to sit courtside and watch Wichita and Kentucky yesterday. And sometimes you get, or a lot of times you get close games in the tournament that are memorable and have unforgettable endings. That one was memorable from the opening tip all the way until the last shot. So I was glad to sit there and watch it and try to document it for ESPN.com.
So out of the four schools that played there yesterday, who's the best?
Well, I can't really say Kansas or Wichita State, can I? They are no longer playing in the tournament. You know, I'm tempted to say Wichita State because I think if you put Wichita State on the court over the course of a season or in a tournament format, like a series format, the Shockers are probably the most consistent team out of the entire group in St. Louis. Unfortunately for Wichita State, it caught Kentucky on probably Kentucky's best day of the year. And if you'd have told me before that game that Kentucky was going to play at the level that it did, I'd say probably 75 to 80% of its potential when the Cats have been closer to 50 or 60% all year, I would have thought Wichita State had no shot. But that's how big the talent gap is between those two rosters. But the Shockers were up for the challenge and, you know, played well as they usually do and had a shot to win it at the end. So to answer your question, I guess the best team coming out of St. Louis is Kentucky because if they're playing anywhere near the level that they did yesterday, I think they're a threat to win the whole thing.
Hey, I agree with you. I think Wichita State, again, and the reasons you explain it to all of our listeners, you explained it exactly well. The best team sometimes doesn't win. You know, if you catch somebody on a really hot night, thing of it is with Wichita State, it'll be tough for them because they won 35 games in a row, and it ends like this. But I don't know if it's worse to end it like that or is it worse to end it, you know, like a Creighton did, you know, somebody that gets blown out and going, wow, we were beat at halftime, you know. So, but I think it's well taken what you said, and I agree with you.
I think comparing Wichita State to Creighton, on the day that it happens, as they sat in the locker room yesterday, perhaps it's more difficult to be the Shockers and to replay that final minute and different points in the game in your mind and know that if it had gone one step differently, maybe you're moving on to the Sweet 16. But over time, they're going to be proud of what they accomplished, not just yesterday, but the entire season. And I would much rather be in the position of Wichita State to have gone chest to chest with Kentucky, full of future NBA players, and have come up 2 points short than to lose by 30 like Creighton did against Baylor.
Talking with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So that sets up the intriguing Kentucky-Louisville. Man, if they thought yesterday was an Elite Eight game, what's this, a Final Four game?
Well, I mean, it's the last two national champions, and, you know, the only thing that is more exciting than the last two national champions meeting in the final stages of the NCAA tournament is the rivalry that exists between these two teams and the fact that They'll be playing in Indianapolis, just a couple hour drive from those campuses. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere in Indy for both of those schools' fan bases, and it was already starting yesterday in St. Louis, even in the aftermath of that amazing win over Wichita State. So many questions were asked of the Kentucky players and coaches about going up against Louisville in the next round, and they wanted to savor what they'd just been through. And I assume by the time they got home to Lexington and now today they can start to look at that game. And I don't know if those kids, they're all freshmen and a couple of sophomores on that Kentucky roster. Maybe a good thing for John Calipari and his team is that they're so young. I don't know if they understand exactly what that game means to the people there. You got a bunch of kids from Texas and other parts of the country who are coming into UK, and I don't know if they get it. Somebody asked Julius Randle after the game if he understood, if he knew what this week was going to be like, and he didn't get the question. He said, "Well, I don't know what we're going to do in practice." I mean, the question was about the atmosphere around the state, and it's going to be wild all week, and we can only hope that the game in Indy lives up to the hype.
Hey, Jim Langen here again. Hey, I thought that this year the NCAA really set this up, that the 1-4 matchups were going to be tremendous games, way better than anything except for possibly the Final Four. These 1-4 matchups, and even Vegas agreed with that. I mean, Vegas had all these 4 seeds as really high numbers. I'm talking even San Diego State and UCLA were at a high number, but Michigan State and Louisville were like predicted to win almost the tournament or being up there with the top 4 or 5. So they set this up trying to get 1-4 matchups. Do you agree with that or not?
I think the committee always does that, and some years it works out so that you get those matchups, and other years, obviously it does not. I mean, in some places in the bracket this year, you see spots where the committee perhaps was going for a matchup and it gets something different. In the case of the Kentucky Louisville one, I'm sure that was on their mind when they bracketed those teams in the Midwest region. Perhaps it was there to test Wichita State, the team 34-0 coming into the tournament. The committee said, okay, you made it through the Missouri Valley unscathed, but let's see if you can get through this crazy draw that we put in your way. And they don't get that, but they get Louisville, Kentucky, which is more entertaining to everybody who's watching. So, yeah, I mean, across the bracket, there are interesting matchups all the way. I mean, I don't think people foresaw Dayton Stanford in the Sweet 16. That was not one that anybody had on. I mean, not I can't imagine too many people had it on their brackets or Baylor advancing out of San Antonio. So. That Baylor Wisconsin game is interesting to me because of the styles of all those teams play. I think Wisconsin would have been a really, really tough matchup for Creighton and for a lot of the same reasons that we saw last night against Baylor. So, yep, going into the Sweet 16, lots of interesting matchups as normal.
Last moment here with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, and you kind of covered what my next two questions are, or my final two. First off, Stanford now, that is the wacky bracket over there. We almost had all double-digit seeds, but Stephen F. Austin couldn't get it done. Of course, that didn't mean anything. The last time that happened, Kansas got knocked off by VCU with 3 double digits on their side. Can Stanford keep on going? Can they make a run here?
Well, sure. I mean, they certainly can do it against Dayton. You got to take every round on its own because Dayton's been through Ohio State, buzzed through Ohio State and Syracuse. So Stanford's not going to look like anything all that intimidating for the Flyers. But the way that Stanford played, particularly against Kansas yesterday, just shut down everything that Kansas wanted to do. Kansas is going to continue to face a lot of scrutiny and criticism for what happened yesterday, and Andrew Wiggins was not aggressive and did not take the action, did not take it upon himself to create things on the court. Of course, without Joel Embiid, it was tough for Kansas at times to match up with some things that Stanford had on the inside part of the court. But Stanford, give credit to Stanford and Johnny Dawkins. They've done a really nice job of coming together at the right time and beat a good New Mexico team and then beat a very good Kansas team. So, looking at that bracket, I think Stanford is, definitely poised to make a run at the Elite Eight, and we'll see about the Final Four if they can make it past Dayton.
And last question before we head out to L.A. and talk a little women's hoop with Matt Coatney, and we're going to talk with Mitch about this. And I want this is something we're going to discuss a little bit more on the show. The way it ended for Creighton, yay, Creighton. They've made the NCAA tournament the last 3 years, and they were exciting to watch, and it was fun basketball, and it's great to see Rocky make 25-footers. Should we view this as a disappointment? I mean, if this wasn't Creighton, I think other teams would be viewed as a disappointment that they never were able to take this talent past the first round of the NCAA tournament. They haven't made a legit Sweet 16 since before the days when you only had to win one game and you were in the Sweet 16.
Huge disappointment. I mean, you got the National Player of the Year. You got four seniors who've been pointing toward this for a long period of time. I don't think it's in any way too much to expect that a three seed and the way that Creighton played during the season this year, beating Villanova twice and coming out of the Big East as the runner-up in the regular season and in the tournament to be poised for a Sweet 16 run. And it looked like the bracket set up pretty well. I think there was perceived to be a coaching advantage for Creighton in the second round with Greg McDermott against Scott Drew, and that did not prove to be the case at all. But a huge disappointment. I mean, the Sweet 16 is no longer something that is reserved only for the blue bloods of college basketball. I mean, look at Dayton, and you see Stanford, which is a good program, but probably not, at least this year, all that much higher or any higher than Creighton in terms of its prestige. And for Creighton to go out, not just go out in the second round, but to go out the way that it did in a 30-point loss where Doug McDermott just wasn't a factor in the game in his last college games, it's extremely disappointing. I mean, I don't think it tarnishes what Doug accomplished in his career, and his records speak for themselves, and he's a great representative of the sport of college basketball, but very, very disappointing. I think all the people around the Creighton program would be doing themselves a disservice if they suggested otherwise. It's tough to see Creighton. It's tough for Creighton, I'm sure, to see itself sitting home when everyone was pointing toward this weekend in Anaheim to get out there and make it to the Sweet 16 for the first time.
Mitch, always appreciate catching up with you. We'll probably talk football next time around. And folks, you can follow Mitch Sherman on Twitter @MitchSherman. Mitch, enjoy the rest of the tournament. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as he was in St. Louis and watched Kentucky and Stanford advance on. Pretty sure nobody, I mean, yeah, you got eight teams and two of them got to move on. Not a whole lot of people would have expected Stanford and Kentucky to both move on, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, there was, I filled out a couple fun little things, just and one of them was a Pac-10 bracket. And Arizona State lost to Texas at the buzzer, yeah. You know, and Oregon had Wisconsin down 49-35, and I was really thinking, hey, here it goes, you know. Yeah. But I had that one little thing where I did have that Stanford, UCLA, and Arizona going, but I also had those other two. So, I mean, when that happens, you've got to get a clean sweep. And I didn't play the Southeastern Conference. That was the one to play because they went 7-0. Tennessee, I think, 3-0 in the tournament, you know. And
yeah, nice draw. Everybody could use that kind of draw. We will now switch to the West Coast and out to a warm, sunny California. You know, it's sunny here. It's just not warm, but it'll be warmer if the Nebraska women could advance on to another Sweet 16. And Matt Coatney called the win for the Huskers on Saturday. He celebrated a birthday yesterday, and he's getting ready for BYU. Matt, you kind of basically called this without officially saying BYU would win. You thought BYU had a better than 50-50 chance of being Nebraska's opponent tonight. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, when you talked to me about it the other day, and Jeff Reese and I have been pretty consistent since November about what a good team we think BYU is. You know, something that Jeff and I were talking about this weekend that we never ever thought about and we completely missed was, you know, BYU can't play on Sundays, and they pretty much have to play in the West. So, you know, if we would have looked at the bracket, we would have thought about them being in one of these two West Coast sub-regionals, and so when you look at them as a 12 seed, and we talk to some of their media, they very routinely get shifted around two or three seeds. This is not a 12 seed. I think BYU legitimately is about an 8 or 9 seed, especially if you look at their RPI in the mid-30s. So really not a surprise to us. BYU, a tremendous team, and they really, really took it to North Carolina State on Saturday.
Well, let's talk about Nebraska. Coach Cagliari said that they looked like they were a little bit rusty. They got out to the 9-point lead. Then Fresno hit a couple of shots and kept it interesting until midway through the second half. Your assessment of the game on Saturday for the Huskers?
Yeah, and I thought Connie was exactly right about the rust. I mean, it's one of the things about going to the Big Ten is they finish so early. It's almost like playing a bowl game with the NCAA tournament compared to when they were, you know, in the Big 12. And you saw it throughout the Big Ten. Penn State struggled in the first half of Wichita State. Penn State hadn't played in 16 days since they got knocked out in their first game in the Big Ten tournament. And it happened in Nebraska last year. They struggled in the first half against Chattanooga out of Texas A&M, and then really played well in their second-round game, obviously, beating the Southeastern Conference champions on their home floor. So Nebraska, obviously, I think, looked a little out of sync early on, but, you know, Rachel Terrio is such a calming influence and had such a tremendous game. Her 12 assists were the most by any player in the first round of the tournament. Jordan Hooper had the third-best game of any player nationwide in the first round of the NCAA tournament. It's a very veteran team, and I think that they just took care of business, did what they needed to do, overcame some adversity, and credit Fresno State. They're a conference champion for a reason, and they're a very, very good defensive team. They've been holding teams below 30% shooting, so, you know, not a surprise that their defense was effective at some points against Nebraska.
Hey, for Nebraska to make a big run into this thing and, you know, to maybe get, you know, and beat a UConn if they can get by and do some things like this, what is the one thing that you think that they're the best at? Is it, I mean, transition? Is it shooting the ball? Is it defending? Or what is the number one thing you feel that they can do that maybe somebody might have trouble stopping?
Well, the first thing for Nebraska is Key Loudermill has to be on her game offensively. And, you know, the Huskers have won 13-14, and a lot of that has to do with the emergence of Loudermill, who was over a 40% three-point shooter in Big Ten play. For the Huskers to, and let me just stop you here and talk about UConn. I live in the real world. Yes, I'm a Husker homer. I think everybody knows that. I'm not sure you can take the five best players on every other team in women's college basketball and beat UConn. They're that good. And I've talked to coaches on other teams that have played them. They are a different animal. Now, one thing about UConn, they rarely play on the road in the NCAA tournament. In fact, 110 NCAA tournament appearances all time, they've only had to play one true road game. For example, like Nebraska did at Texas A&M last year. But to answer your question, the Huskers, what they do very well is when they get in transition and get you scrambled, they're very hard to guard when Loudermill is playing well. You have to guard Hooper, Katie, Terrio, and you have to guard Loudermill. When Haley Sample is left alone and Rachel Terrio can find her, it scrambles teams. You can look at what Michigan State, the problems they had against Nebraska, or Penn State, the problems they had against them. So rebounding and transition are the things that make Nebraska very hard. And if they get to the Sweet 16, momentum, a big home crowd, getting a transition, spotting up for threes, those are the kinds of things that they would have to use to their advantage.
Talk with Matt Coatney for another minute here out in Los Angeles, preparing for tonight's women's game, which you will hear on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. And pregame is at 7:30. Tip-off is set for 8:10 against BYU. You talked a little bit last week, Matt, about BYU, the big presence in the middle, the 6'7 senior in Jennifer Hampson. A little more on her and what else they have that goes with her.
Boy, what an incredible player, and I think she has some WNBA prospects if she wants to play basketball. You know, her mom was one of the greatest players ever in BYU history and really had to convince her to play basketball. She redshirted from volleyball this year. Next year, she won't play basketball. She's going to play volleyball. She was the West Coast Conference Volleyball Player of the Year 2 years ago, was all-tournament team in the Lincoln Regional, the Omaha Regional, I guess I should say, up at CenturyLink. She is just an athlete. Her length really bothers teams. Now, she's not really as dynamic an offensive threat as you can be, but she leads the nation in block shots. She is going to be hard to deal with just in terms of her length. But I think the player that Nebraska is really concerned about is Lexi, who was a sophomore, torn ACL last year, had game-high 25 against North Carolina State, coming off of just an abysmal game in the West.
West Coast Conference championship against Gonzaga in a loss for BYU. If Eaton can dribble, penetrate, and get in the lane and get the Huskers in foul trouble, BYU stands a really good chance of giving the Huskers some problems here today. And then they also have a really good four player in Bailey. You might remember Thurl Bailey, who played for North Carolina State.
Sure.
Delfano in 1983, played for the Utah Jazz. This is his niece, and she is a legitimate four player, can invert to the block and step out and hit the three. So they've got some weapons. It's not just all about Jen Handsome, but she's tall, and she's going to block some shots. The Huskers are just going to have to deal with it.
And just for the fans out there, because this is what we want, Matt, if Nebraska does get the win tonight, which we're all hoping for, can we just about guarantee that the Nebraska-Connecticut game would be a late game on Saturday night? Do we already know that?
No, actually, and we don't know the official start time, but the presumption is the number one seed always gets the early game, so they have more time to prepare. It's one of the advantages of being the one seed is that you get to scout the next opponent and you get more rest. So my guess would be the 3:30 Central Time game on Saturday. It would be 1-4. That's generally how it's worked in the past. Again, ESPN controls those, but I would be very surprised if it was not a 3:30 game.
Not even a night game. Yuck. But, hey, let's. It's still going to be packed. It's going to be fun.
There's nothing better than Saturday afternoon basketball. Are you kidding me? That would be tremendous.
That way we can get a good meal afterwards. Hey, we'll be listening to the ball game tonight. Matt, always do a great job, and bring those Huskers home with a victory, would you? Thanks for the time.
Well, thanks for being such a great affiliate, and we'll try and get a win tonight. Thank you, guys.
All right, be safe. That is Matt Cotney, and you can hear him and Jeff Grease with the call tonight, as you do every time with the Husker women. Doug Duda, Jim Langan here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. During the month of March, every time they sell a vehicle, they're donating money to St. Jude's and the St. Jude's Hospital. So just another way that they continually give back to the community. We talk about it all the time. Sometimes we point out some of the specifics that they do. Sometimes it's a fun event. Sometimes it's a serious note like this. But they're always taking care not only of you, but doing their best to expand that into the community throughout the Tri-City. So while you're helping yourself with a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, you're also helping out the community. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Go see their great salesmen and saleswomen and all the fine folks. South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. You can always check out their complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. We need to take a break. We're going to talk a little football with Hastings College's Tony Harper and more on the NCAA tournament coming up.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Maybe you shave with 7 microblades. Maybe you use an antique barber's razor, or you got a thing for your girlfriend's pink shower razor. Regardless, it's not just about the blade. The shaving gel really matters. Nivea Men's Sensitive Shaving Gel is formulated with Skin Guard technology to provide a close and comfortable shave. Choose Nivea Men's Sensitive Shaving Gel. The shaving gel really matters. And for a perfect finish, use Nivea Men's Sensitive Post-Shave Balm. Nivea Men. It starts with you.
College basketball is heating up, and there's one place for all the madness. Get to Dave & Buster's, the only place to watch the games and play the games. Watch all the hoops on tons of huge HD TVs and get awesome game time food. Try the pretzel dogs or the Mountain O' Nachos. Plus, there are always new games in the Midway. Visit bestsportsbarever.com to find the Dave & Buster's location nearest you and get free gameplay. Dave & Buster's, the only place to watch the games and play the games.
Come on!
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in! Let the games begin.
For today, look for partial sunshine. We'll reach a high temperature near 40 degrees. Winds becoming breezy from the northwest. And for tonight, a low temperature of 18. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, it's 36.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Glad to have you along with us as we take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, we asked you, how many NCAA brackets did you fill out? Well, Jimmy, you were like the majority, I guess. 52% said 2-4. There was only 16% that had the one sheet of integrity, and there were 32% that said in that 5-9 range, which is where I fell. And I didn't make a lot of copies, so I don't know how I'm doing in most of them, but I would presume, like most people, I mean, they won't all match up. There are brackets that I had Iowa State moving on and not Villanova. I took Villanova in quite a few. Probably the one that I took didn't have Florida, something there. The last one I filled out, I had New Mexico going out because I thought somebody could get by Kansas. Well, it's Stanford. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily kill your bracket. If your upset gets knocked out, yeah, how many people are actually going to have Stanford? But at least you didn't lose a lot of points because you took Kansas to get beat, just had the wrong guy.
Yeah,
I didn't have Kentucky, I don't think, in any of them.
You know, when you try to win that thing, you've got to try to pick some people that are going to get a little, maybe a point or two here doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, I had Stephen F. Austin. Well, that's great. That's 1 point.
Yeah.
You know, I need to get somebody like a UCLA to give me 8 here, 16 here, 32 here. I mean, you know, and whatever the points are. Is 16 the most you can get in our contest at ESPN, or is it 32? I think it's like 32. So you get a 32-pointer. That makes up for a lot of other mistakes along the way.
Yeah, there's some pools where getting the national champion basically wins it for you, and there's some where getting the national champion gets you 4 points where you don't necessarily – if you could lose the finals. Pretty much to win any of these, you're going to have the winner or at least be in the finals. So our Midtown Mark Cooler question today, with their core returning, including Doug McDermott, was Creighton's season a success despite losing in the round of 32 for 3 straight seasons? There's the difference between disappointment and success. I put this to you, Jimmy, and there's a couple of teams around here on a high school level that I know went 24-4 or something like that. Creighton didn't win the conference title. They didn't win the tournament title, and they went out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I mean, it was not a success. What did they accomplish? They made the NCAA tournament as a 3 seed and got humiliated in the second round. I mean, I hate to be that guy, but like I said, if it was not Creighton, if it was another name on there of Butler when they were making, I mean, Butler made runs, Dayton's made a run here, VCU makes a run, George Mason has made a run. I think it's unfortunate that for all this following of Creighton, and especially for those Creighton people that don't like Nebraska, I mean, I think a little mud is going to be thrown in those people's faces. I mean, they are a fun team to watch, but they didn't win anything. And I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I will say about the Creighton was they had a lot of class on the floor, Doug. I mean, when you look, they didn't do anything to embarrass the state for 4 years. I mean, if you look at what you know,
was pretty embarrassing last night.
Nah, I don't know. Well, when you get beat, that's one thing. But when you start and can't handle it, and you start throwing elbows and you start doing things that you're looking at. You're looking at people that you have those players in the media. Hey, they're in trouble here. They stole a car. They did things like this. They're always in trouble. This guy's on a 5-day suspension because he hit somebody. He went into the crowd. I mean, there's things people can do. So they did not do any of this. I talk about a class program. Look at the way the players got along.
Well, that's it. That's why you don't. That's why I feel bad about saying anything bad about them, because they're great people and they were fun to watch. But
yeah, well, I mean, if they're picked 10th in the nation or 12th in the nation when the media comes out, I mean, this team's picked. Hey, we expect this team to get 10th or 12th in the nation. And then when they get done and they're ranked 20th, yeah, they didn't do what they wanted to accomplish. They had a lot of goals. If you're saying the Creighton players and their coaches, they have goals. They sit down and go, hey, what's our goal this year? What do we want to do? What do we want to accomplish? I will guarantee you they'll be the first people to tell you they didn't get a lot of the things they wanted to get done. But they still had a great season. They beat Villanova twice. You know, they competed at a very high level. And, hey, you know what? Every week you'd look up on the thing and go, hey, you just passed Larry Bird. Now who did he pass? He passed this guy. He passed that guy. He's, you know, fifth in the all-time scoring. You know what I mean? So that in itself is something you're always going to remember. So, and he came back for a senior season. He did some things he wanted to do. He wanted to compete for Creighton. He wanted things to go well. He tried to live up to some goals. He wanted to be with his dad. I mean, you know, I mean, there was a lot of things that just him himself did as a player. So, and then one of the players hurt his knee horribly. He's out there. I mean, try to imagine the effort he made on that leg. I mean, he was out there. And if you people didn't understand that that guy wasn't hurt, I mean, that, you know, he could hardly even go up for a layup. You know, so he tried to play. So, they were feisty, and things didn't go their way. But, you know, I appreciate what they did for us.
Well, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to take a look at our Doug and Daddy leaderboard in just a little bit. Plus, we've got baseball, the wrestling championships were over the weekend, softball, and a whole lot more that we're going to talk about. But spring football is rolling on for Hastings College, and we've talked Huskers. We talked Lopers with Daryl Morris last week, and Coach Tony Harper joins us this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan on this Monday. Coach, welcome back. Good morning.
Appreciate you having me on again.
Well, great to chat with you. You have been, as many coaches do, trying to, I guess you were on the road, going to other programs, discussing ideas. Coaches go to coaches' clinics. They talk to other coaches. Tell us about where you've been, what you've been learning, what you're trying to find out.
Well, you know, we started, this is actually our second week of spring ball. Last week was our spring break. The week before that, we started spring ball for the first 4 days of that week. And spring break allowed us to go out and visit some other staffs. And I think, you know, if coaches are the biggest thieves there are. We're going to steal ideas and philosophies from other people and try and tweak it and say it's our own. But it was good for me to be able to go visit with the staff at Central Missouri State, visit with staff down in Missouri Valley, sit and talk to some of our staff just to pick up some different philosophies, techniques, drills that will hopefully get us back up to where we're expected to be. So it was a good time. It was a relaxing time. And now we're ready to get back into spring ball and everything.
Hey, Coach Jim Langan here. Hey, tell us a little bit about some of the players in the area, the Hastings, Grand Island, Kearney area that are on your team.
From the Hastings area, Matt Overmiller and Jake Fowler from Adams Central, those two guys are expected to be starters for us next year. They've came in as spring ball as starters. Those two guys, you know, Matt's going to be a senior quarterback. Jake's going to be a sophomore tailback for us. Those two guys have really picked up the little tweaks and nuances that Coach Holtzclaw's kind of changed with our offense this spring. So those are two big guys from around here. Obviously, our punter and kickoff guy, Brandon Bockel from GI Northwest, he came in and took the job as a freshman. His leg's only gotten a lot stronger, and as long as I don't screw him up too much during special teams, we expect Brandon to have a really good fall next year. He's looked really good this spring. We got Chris Harper, who's a big defensive end from St. Cecilia, who's done some good things for us this spring. He's bulked up from about 215, 220. He's up to about 230, 235, about 6'5", and he's really had a good spring so far. So those are just some of the local guys that have done some good things for us this spring.
We're talking with Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. Last year you did a little tweaking with your coaching staff. Any changes there this spring?
You know, what we've done this spring, we're excited with these guys because, as you know, right now all these guys are coming back, and I think that's a credit to them, a credit to the school, a credit to the you know, Hastings community in general. They like it here. They want to be a part of something special and get this thing turned around. The only real tweaks that we did offensively was Dave Kamara's gone from quarterbacks to wide receivers, where he was an All-American wide receiver when he played. That's kind of more of his home there. We've taken Rich Mason from receivers and moved him back to quarterback, and he's been a quarterback's coach his entire career when he was an offensive coordinator at some various other schools. So we think that's really helped us on that side of the football, just kind of put those guys in, into positions that they feel a little bit more comfortable with, and offensively it's really helped. And you could see it this spring just by, you know, how aggressive the receivers have been and how the reads have been going by the quarterbacks. Defensively, we're staying the same where we're at and everything. We just got to get a little bit better technically and understand the fits a little bit.
Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College. Take me through that first week. What were you addressing immediately, and did you like the way the first week went?
You know, the biggest thing that we really wanted to focus on this spring is setting the reset button. We needed to forget about what happened. You had the adversity. Everybody has adversity. We can't be complaining about it and playing the sympathy card and all that stuff. We got to forget about it and get better. So what we really hammered into the guys is we got to find something to rally around, whether it's this play, whether it's this player, whether it's this situation, and we got to compete a little bit better. We want to see in practice, I'm beating that guy that's across from me. So then when we come together as a whole unit, I want to beat that other unit. And the first week of spring ball, we really competed, which everybody does, because everybody's fired up. They get to go outside. They get to play football. You know, there's no more snow on the ground, and it's warm outside. What we have to be able to do is we have to maintain that and raise it every single day. We got to technically get better, and we got to continue to fight. And it's all about, you know, who wants it worse? Am I going to outwork that guy when it really comes down to it? And that's what we've tried to hammer into our guys, and right now they're buying into it pretty well.
Hey, Coach, do you work a lot on your punt return? You talk about not getting penalties, things like that in the spring, or do you wait for that until in the fall?
No, we start talking about it from day one in spring, the very first practice. And what we do here is if there's a penalty that we see, you know, we do a lot of competition, offense versus defense, and we're keeping points. Because it's hard in spring to get the guys to buy into that competition unless they see a result for it. So if I beat that guy, I'm going to get this point, and so on and so forth. And when we have penalties in practice, we'll mark it off right there. There's a minus for us right there. Or that took away that touchdown. And then at the end of practice, you know, we do a little extra condition to say, okay, guys, when you make a mistake, there's going to be repercussions for it. So we talk a lot about that. And we've been very penalized in the last couple of years, and we got to do a better job as coaches and players of realizing let's not put ourselves against the wall. And then with special teams, we've really increased the amount of time that we spend with those guys. And every day for at least 20 minutes, we're going to work one special teams unit, whether it's punt one day, punt block the next day. And we don't do a lot of full covering because I think that kind of hurt us in the past. We do a ton of drills, just like a linebacker, just like a DB or receiver. We're going to teach specifics of how we want to angle our body, and this is where we're going at. So we've really slowed some things down so we can get stuff on film and really coach the guys up.
As we talked about last time when we chatted, right after you signed the initial kids for letter of intent day, we always have kind of that secondary wave, and that was announced here just as spring ball got going. Any highlights from those 14?
You know, as every coach tells you, and you guys probably hear it from everybody, that, man, we're excited. You know, we're looking forward to this guy, and we're looking forward to that guy, and we are just like everybody else. We're excited. We feel like we've been able to go out and get guys that fit the college, that fit the community, and fit the program that we're looking for. And there's a couple guys in there. Jake Isabel is a transfer wide receiver that hopefully will take some of the pressure off our quarterbacks. He can do some different things. We really hammered the defense, whether it's D-line, linebacker, secondary. We've got some good players in there. Lane Bernstrock from South Sioux is a legacy. His brother played for us a couple years ago. He's got some nice frame on him, and he's got some ability. And there's some other guys that we got that are doing some different things. Kyle McMines from Millard South, an all-district, all-metro type of kid. And we got a receiver from Texas that we're pretty excited about by the name of Christian Worthington. And you can't forget about the big guys. We got Chase Mortlang from Adams Central that's all a 6'6", 240. So, you know, we're excited about those guys, but we're excited about everybody. And we're looking forward to welcome them. I think the biggest thing is our guys that are here right now, our returners, have to do a great job of welcoming them as well. You know, take the time to reach out to them, talk to them on the phone, and do those different things so there are no uncomfortable, you know, times when the guys report in August.
Last one, because I noticed this, and I'm just interested on how I'm trying to phrase this politely. I guess there are. I noticed that there is at least one or two young men every time around that come from a high school program that just didn't win. I mean, not only. I'm not talking 5-6 games during their career. I'm talking 0, 1, 2. Mm-hmm. Those kind of guys have to be tougher and different to recruit, but yet you find a little bit of something to polish there. How do you approach a young man in this case, because I'm sure it's the same way with young ladies in women's sports, about finding them? Is it them coming to you in a camp, or is every situation a little bit different? And then what are they like when you start working with them and try to get them into that winning situation?
First off, and that's a great question, what we tell our guys, every single guy that comes here on campus to visit or that we talk to on the phone, we tell them we want guys that come from successful programs. We want guys that are used to competing for conference, district, state championships. But it's just like every state, not everybody's going to be able to compete. And some guys are in tougher situation than other guys, but we identify those guys, we talk to their coaches. And then guys that come from programs that are 500 or like you're talking about, maybe a little bit lower, haven't won a lot of games, we really, when it's very important for us, we get them on campus, we set them down in the offices, and we kind of, we don't grill them, but we put them kind of on the spot and be like, okay, I want to see how hungry you are. I want to see how you answer these tough questions. We tell our guys, we don't do a lot of spiel when it comes to recruiting. We try and get the recruits to talk to us and their families. And if a recruit is comfortable enough to talk to the head coach or the coordinator or the position coach or anybody that's affiliated with the program, we feel like they got leadership abilities. And number one, that's what we look for. If you're comfortable and you can carry yourself in that manner, we're going to welcome you to this program. We'll worry about where you fit, how talented you are or untalented you are later on. We want to see mentally what your makeup is. And then what we try and do is we try and talk to the coaches or maybe a teacher to at those schools to kind of see what they're like. And then we just watch a ton of film, you know. And Lane Burstrock's a perfect example. You know, South Sioux's kind of struggled here a little bit, but we look at him on film. We see some of his postseason accolades, but we really look and see, now we're getting technical, we look at his hips. We look about how aggressive he is. And one thing that we look at, and a lot of guys, don't care if you're A, B, C, C1, C2, D1, D2, do you play both ways? Some schools don't, and that's fine. But do you play on special teams? Let's say you're a linebacker. Are you on all the special teams? So we kind of see from a football standpoint how involved they are in various areas. And then we look at, do you play another sport? You know, that's a big thing for us. We want dual athletes. We don't want guys that just focus on one or the other, because we want guys that are well-rounded. And those are some of the things, the criteria that we look at when we talk to the guys.
Well, that's good to know, because obviously not everybody is fortunate enough to play on state playoff teams every day of their life. So, Coach, I always appreciate the chat here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll do it again soon. Keep them healthy.
We're going to try. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As you get ready for lunch, it is the Chicken Coop in Kearney, 2115 Avenue A. And don't forget, on a Monday, their lunch special is a juicy steak sandwich and your choice of side for only $6.99. And every Monday night, if you want to shake the Monday blues, stop into the Chicken Coop and buy the Coop Koozie for only $5. And you can enjoy 12-ounce cold ones from 7 to close. And they're only $1 each after you purchase the koozie. So if you're coming in to watch NCAA, NIT-type basketball, the women's game tonight, bring the family, enjoy the fun. There's always pool and darts, foosball, arcade games for the family, and so much more. It's at the Chicken Coop. Family fun, drinks, and food. 2115 Avenue A, Kearney.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Hi, it's The Herd. Building a strong relationship with your team, pretty much the key for any business.
Got to meet them and collaborate with your coworkers, your clients on a regular basis. It's called communication to brainstorm and develop quality ideas and solutions. It just works better. Getting everybody in the same place, the same room, these days, impossible. That's why we suggest GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. It's the powerfully simple way to meet in person online from anywhere, anytime. I've used this. Very interesting. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or your mobile device. You can launch your first meeting in seconds. That's all it takes. And you can share the same screen to collaborate on projects in real time. You turn on your webcam, you see everybody face to face. It's powerful, it's simple to meet in person online. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button, then use the promo code, my name, Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Colin. GoToMeeting.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, look for partial sunshine. We'll reach a high temperature near 40 degrees. Winds becoming breezy from the northwest. And for tonight, a low temperature of 18. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now it's 36.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan rolling through a Monday. I want to thank Mitch Sherman, Matt Coatney, head coach Tony Harper at Hastings for joining us. This hour is just flying by, and so it may not seem like the winter's flying by for some folks, but if you're getting ready to get out in the field, you know that it is flying by, and make sure that you are ready to water your crops the very best that you can, and that's with T&L Irrigation. We've been telling you about the improvements and, of course, the great ideas and the great machinery, the great gear that they have. And now for 2014, how about the PPC-3, which allows you to control the speed, direction, end gun, and auto stop locations for your pivot system with GPS right from your home, right from wherever you want it to be, the office. They'll take care of it for you. Combined with T&L's continuously moving hydrostatic power design, it'll give you the assurance of uniform water application, improved crop production, and effective irrigation system management. They're just getting better every single day. They have ruled the United States and 60 countries worldwide for over 60 years from their worldwide location and their headquarters in Hastings. Contact your T&L dealer today, or you can find out who that is by going online, TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems are proven technology that work and easier on you for a lifetime. Let's face it, Jimmy. When we do our contests here, whether it's a bowl challenge, the NCAA tournament, even trivia, we personally know some of the people that are on the leaderboard from time to time, and I always just kind of shake my head and go, man, these pools are sure full of luck. So our buddy Terry Anstein of Hastings currently leads the Doug and Daddy bracket challenge right now. And I'm telling you, I say it up front, this is one of the worst things I do every year. I mean, I remember the time that I got the Super Bowl exactly right, but I have never, ever in the 10 years or 11 years we've been doing the Doug and Daddy show, even been, I don't think, remotely close to the top quarter, top third, maybe. I mean, I'm always, and I'm geez, where am I, 300 and something this week?
You're exactly 300. You're tied for 340th, Doug.
Bang! Somebody's worse.
Hey, I'm way in front of you. I'm tied for 255th.
Well, what happened over the weekend?
Well, I had
you were sitting in 27th, and I thought you were still doing pretty good.
It's not over yet. I still have a chance to win it because I'm the only one with the University of California at Los Angeles. And last time I knew, they won a lot of those.
If they beat Florida, you will immediately move up. It won't even take getting to the championship. You'll see the moving up right there.
Yeah, you know, I saw Terry Anstein's leading, and he's got a pretty good score of 154 points, but his maximum is 162. So he's got about eight or nine people that can catch him.
Yeah, he's got Wichita State in. But, again, the key is who wins it. He's got Florida, and there are a ton of Michigan State and Louisville's right behind him winning it all. I'll tell you right now, and this will help all those people, I would not pick Michigan State or Louisville to win the national championship today, even with 16 teams left.
Is that right?
Yeah, let alone the 64. So these guys that have them ought to feel good because my bracket stinks.
Yeah. I mean, well, who do you have winning it?
And Terry's got Florida over Wisconsin, which is exactly what I have. So, Terry, sorry, buddy. You're going down in flames.
Hey, that Wisconsin looks pretty good right now. That was a huge win for him. That
Oregon looked good.
I had Oregon. Just so Terry knows, I had Oregon. If it's 49-35 at halftime, I hope you bet the halftime line. It's 49-35 Oregon. They go up, hey, Oregon coach, what do you need to do at the second half? Well, I don't know if we need to do anything. I mean, I didn't know we'd be up 14 at halftime.
Yeah. Keep playing like we're playing.
Talk about a home game for Wisconsin.
Well,
you know, wow.
Playing there in Milwaukee. You look at these Sweet 16 teams, and again, congratulations. That's where he's at right now. We've got E. Clark, T. Klinensky, Crazy Chris, Shoot Hoops Not Drugs, Holbein, D.W. Fries. They're all right there in the top three. And there's also some funny names along the way as well. But
that's Clark Rasmussen. You know him out of Grand Island. Yeah, cool. He's got Michigan State winning it, so he's in second place. And, like, what do you win if you win the whole thing? What do you get?
We've got Cunningham's Cash. We've got great gifts from Russell's. We have got, a lot of prizes from our friends at Big Daly's Deli, Godfather's in Hastings, Pizza Month for a Year from Papa John's. We've got Sean Callahan's book. Just depends where you fall, what you're going
to
get.
So, like, if you get your tax return and you win the contest, you get to keep your tax return.
Oh,
you get to keep it by something else. You won't have to buy something with that. You know, I'm as hungry as I am right now. I take my tax return and go to Big Dow. You know, I'm get something to eat here.
We're going to take a break, wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Opening day is next week.
And guys, if you're into fantasy baseball, you'll want to hear this. These new one-day fantasy baseball leagues at FanDuel.com are the hottest thing in fantasy sports. At FanDuel, you play in one-day fantasy baseball leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. And with no season-long commitment, you only play when you want. And you can pick a new team any day. And get this, there's a guy in Detroit named Chris Prince who's won over $535,000 playing at FanDuel. And he's not alone. Over 245,000 people have already won money playing in these one-day fantasy leagues at FanDuel.com. FanDuel is the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. It's so big that they're paying out up to $1 million in winnings every day during baseball season. And right now, FanDuel is giving you up to $200 free. That's right. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. The only way to get up to $200 free is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right corner, and use the promo code 9292. That's FANDUEL.com, promo code 9292.
Are you ready for the madness?
Not
Kraft gets a screen from Ross, moves left, 5 seconds. Kraft, 3 seconds. Kraft throws up a three-pointer. It's good! With 0.2 seconds to go, Aaron Kraft gives Ohio State the lead.
The 2014 NCAA tournament is on. Westwood One. All the excitement of March Madness is right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's go over some news and notes here to wrap up this Monday. The Big Ten Conference has announced the opponents for the volleyball programs this morning. The new format created for the 14-team league with the addition of Maryland and Rutgers features a schedule where teams will see 7 opponents twice and 6 opponents once. The Huskers will announce the rest of their non-conference schedule and dates and times at a different time. The teams that are coming in, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Ohio State, Penn State, and Purdue. Just looking at this right off the wire, we will play Penn State home and away. We will play Rutgers and Wisconsin only on the road, and Minnesota will be the other team that Nebraska plays only on the road. Maryland will be a home and home. Iowa will be a home and home. Illinois and Indiana will be a home and home. Ohio State will only be, and Purdue, only home games, not road games, for Nebraska volleyball. Whoopers and Hoopers this weekend. You don't ref that anymore, huh?
No, I sure don't.
Some whoop, some hoop.
You know, I did it maybe 15 years ago, maybe 17. I remember, Doug, just like you said, I mean, I'm watching Creighton play and Iowa State play on TV on a Friday night.
Well, they play on Thursday. When they get those Thursday games and get beat out, there they were in Hastings the next day.
Yeah, and I'm getting $22.50 a game to get yelled at and screamed at, you know, and hold everything.
You know? All you had to do is say, hey, whoa. I'm better than those jokers were yesterday. That's all you got to say, man. Folks also want to know when the Sweet 16 games are. So the 6:15, 6:45 games on Thursday, Stanford, Dayton, Wisconsin, Baylor. Then at 8:45, Florida, UCLA, and 9:17, Arizona, San Diego State. And then on Friday night, 6:15, Michigan, Tennessee, 6:30, Iowa State, Connecticut, 8:45, Louisville, Kentucky, and at 9 o'clock, Virginia, Michigan State. Again, I have to say, they're starting them too late. I did not appreciate an 8:40 Central Time tip-off in the NCAA tournament on a Sunday night, and it's not on CBS. I said this last year. The NCAA needs to step up. If they're going to be throwing games on True TV, like Creighton was, that is crap that they're putting them on Sunday night. I mean, you're waiting all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and I get that you want prime time, but come on. Come on. We had 2 games tip each day before, what, 4:30? I mean, that should be the last round. Saturday night, fine. Play as late as you want. Not Sunday. Nebraska is losing assistant men's basketball coach Craig Smith. He will be named the new head men's basketball coach today at South Dakota. And I think that's a pretty significant loss because he's been with Coach Miles almost every step of the way. He did coach Mayville State and was the National Coach of the Year in 2007 before rejoining Coach Miles at Colorado State. So there you go. Nebraska women, we already talked about that. The Nebraska wrestling team finished 11th. That was a little lower than where they'd been rated most of the year, and I'm sure they're disappointed that only 2 of their wrestlers were All-Americans, James Green and Robert Kokish, and I know that they were disappointed, especially Green was ranked number 1, that they didn't get into the finals. I kept getting phone messages when I was busy on Thursday and Friday from one of my favorite wrestling fans, Johnny and Carney, but then all of a sudden I didn't get any more updates after Friday night and Saturday. So, you know, hey, and then all of a sudden there's nobody, you know. I just wondered. I love wrestling. Baseball, Jimmy, should we be a little worried? And Nebraska goes 1-2 at Iowa, a team that was not looked at to be very good in the conference.
Iowa was playing
and blow pretty, it late twice.
Yeah, Iowa was playing pretty good. You know, you know, they, I don't know what their record was, but it was
12-5.
Yeah, 12. Thank you, 12-5. They were playing while we go on the road, but yeah, that's. I mean, I suppose we could be a, you know, 2-1 would have been great. I mean, that's the difference in baseball. Yeah. I mean, what's really weird about baseball, if you think about it, you get a 3-game series in the major leagues, and if you go 2-1, you win the series, and if you go 1-2, and if you do that too many times after a long period of time, you are not very good, or you're really good.
And, yeah. And I always worry about closers. I mean, Nebraska, they scratch out a win Friday. They're up 1-0, going to the bottom of the ninth. Well, we got a closer. Let's trot him out there. Oh, we get beat 2-1. That's a rough life for a closer out there. UNK baseball, I think Coach Damon Day would have loved the win yesterday to go 3-1 against Emporia. They got beat 5-4, so they go 2-2, and they will be on the road Tuesday and Wednesday. I believe we'll get to have the coach co-host with us on Thursday again. UNK softball team went 1-3. They've got their next 6 games at home Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Nebraska softball split with Minnesota after winning a Friday night game. The Tri-City Storm split their games. They have only one home game remaining. That's the last one, April 5th. They've got 4 straight road games. Nebraska Danger didn't get off to a good start, but they do win at Bemidji. Now they go to the Colorado Ice this Sunday. And Hastings baseball and softball back home from their spring trips. So I think that catches us up on everything for today. So that'll wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show. Anything else, Jim?
No, that's it. You got it all.
How do the jockeys do at Fawner? I'm still thinking of Chris from Lawrence, who was on the. He said, "Just take the top 4 jockeys."
Yeah, well, I would imagine they did pretty well. I didn't really look at it that day.
Diamond Joe, bang! Brought home a big win Saturday.
I did see in the last race yesterday, 10-1 over 35-1 over like 7-1. I mean, and it only paid $800 for a dime, $8,000 for a buck.
Gotta pay the bills.
Yep.
On the last race of the day, so there you go. Folks, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we'll be getting you more into what's going on. We'll recap the women's game from tonight against BYU. Look more at the baseball action or basketball action coming up this weekend. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Again, we want to thank Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, Matt Coatney, voice of the Husker women, and Tony Harper, Hastings College football coach. Jimmy, have a great week.
Take care, Doug.
See you, folks.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!